Welcome everyone to episode 104 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today, it's a day I've been dreading for a long time. We need to talk about LaVar Ball. Before we get underway, wanted to remind you.
You said his name.
I did. We'll get there. But before we get underway, we wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some reviews. We would love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports. So check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. Joining me today, as always, is still my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well. I'm going to spare people the imitation, but can we just... I feel dirty, Brian, and not in a good way. Not in a good way. This is... Because you just said the name. We agreed to it. Not Voldemort for this time. So I'm going to brand or name this podcast, this episode, The Exception.
Yes, the amnesty episode.
Yeah, this is the the amnesty episode, because we are going to talk about LaVar Ball. And can we just let's just be honest about this. When we talked about this, we were not enjoying this particular episode, you know, the idea of talking about this episode, simply because we do not want to give this guy a chance to speak. But now it's become so woven into the fabric of the Lakers that we actually felt that it's so NBA related now that if we didn't cover it, we'd be hypocrites.
Yeah, it's at this point, it is impossible to ignore. And as you mentioned, Mort, I mean, dating back to the NBA draft, we had basically made a pledge on this podcast to ignore LaVar Ball and all of his histrionics. We did not care. We just thought he was an attention whore doing what attention's whore do to get attention. We've been calling him Voldemort for the last 6 months, he who must not be named, because we are afraid that every time we say his name, he somehow gains power. Unfortunately, this week, on Sunday, I guess it came out, he spoke with ESPN's Jeff Goodman. ESPN sent Jeff Goodman to Lithuania to watch his two younger sons, LaMelo and LiAngelo, make their debut with their Lithuanian team. So, of course, LaVar had a big sit-down with Jeff Goodman. And during that interview, he talked about Luke Walton, who he has been vocally critical of before. He told Goodman, quote, "You can see they're not playing for Luke no more. Luke doesn't have control of the team no more. They don't want to play for him. That's a good team," in reference to the Lakers. "Nobody wants to play for him. I can see it. No high fives when they come out of the game. People don't know why they're in the game. He's too young. He ain't connecting with them anymore. You can look at every player. He's not connecting with not one player." So there's a lot to untangle there, both with LaVar and Lonzo, and then also more at our role in that. So let's start with LaVar, first of all. Uh-huh. Is this a problem for the Lakers?
Well, LaVar?
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you even ask me that? Yeah, sure. Obviously. I mean, look, it was a legitimate fear coming into the draft last year that you would have a LaVar Ball running the sidelines, whatever team drafted Lonzo. And the Lakers, to their credit, they decided, you know what, it's worth it. Lonzo, it's worth it. We're going to take it. I mean, I can admire that sort of confidence in a selection, so I'll give them that. But now we're seeing it. Now we're seeing all the things that we feared. He is talking and talking and ruining team chemistry from the outside, which is difficult to do, I might add. It's a tremendous problem. He's undermining every ounce of authority Luke Walton has, which is just such a bad play when you're on a young team. I mean, these players need guidance. They need a chance to develop quietly and without additional pressure. And LaVar drawing the spotlight to him also cast that spotlight onto them in a way that is not appropriate, and it's also not something that's going to get these guys more involved in their development process. They are going to be looking over their shoulders. Oh, is this guy talking? wow, does he have a point about Luke? Like, coach, is that coach not hashtag not my coach? I mean, you know, he's starting a lot of stuff that is going to put a lot of consequences on the players, where while he walks off like scot-free, because what can you do? Okay, we can ban you from games. That's not going to stop him. ESPN is going to throw a camera in his face every goddamn second anyway.
Yeah. He has a Facebook show. He doesn't really use Twitter all that much, but he can use Twitter. I mean, I think you're 100% right. They can't stop him from being who he is. This is who he is. This is who we knew he was. It feels very like, I think I've probably made this comparison before, but it feels very similar to Donald Trump, both in his ways of drawing attention, but also
he learned from him, I think.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, back right after Trump had been elected, there was some faint hope among Republicans that, oh, well, now that he's elected, he's going to pivot to this more presidential figure and he's going to be more bipartisan. And, you know, he was just playing this role during the election process. And then, no, this is just who Donald Trump is. And the same thing with LeVar. Like, no, LeVar was not just playing a role to get his son drafted highly. This is who he is. At, like, he's playing a role still, but he's not going to stop playing that role. He's over the past year, he has been rewarded heavily for behaving the way he has, and he's going to continue doing that. So, you know, Ramona Shelburne, back in early December, reported the Lakers front office met with LeVar, so that Magic and Rob Pelinka, their general manager, met with him and asked him to tone down some of his public criticisms of Walton and help create a more positive atmosphere around his son. That lasted a month. Like, this isn't, he's not changing. So I guess the question is now, like, what role does Lonzo have in this? Do you think, like, why? It's kind of like my big question with this whole thing is, like, why hasn't Lonzo stood up to his dad and been like, hey, this publicly is a distraction. Yeah, like, shut up. Stop talking. Because every time, you know, the more he doesn't do that,
right,
the more I get the impression that, like, oh, maybe there's something to this. Like, maybe Lonzo is actually telling him behind the scenes, I hate playing for Luke Walton. Julius Randle is unhappy behind the scenes because his minutes are getting jerked around. No one enjoys playing for Luke Walton, but I can't say that because then it'll be a huge news story. But if you say it, then they can just attribute it to you.
Yeah, I get that thinking. Here's the thing. We don't know what he tells LeVar privately. We have no idea. And then we also have to remember something. This is a 20-year-old kid. I mean, by all intents and purposes, a kid. He's not even old enough to drink.
Right.
So we should also be careful in handing the responsibility of the world to Lonzo here and and tell him, you know, go against your family, because I'm sure that family is very sacred to him.
Sure. Yeah,
and I could imagine him. I think Lonzo is in a horrible situation right now, and I blame his father entirely for putting him there. But you're right. At some point, something's got to give, and that is Lonzo coming out publicly and saying, you know what, I don't support it. I think he has agents in his ear also going, you know what, just be quiet about all this, then you don't ruffle any feathers, and, you know, you don't lose sponsor deals, whatever.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're right. Something needs to happen from Lonzo's perspective. I just question whether his age is a problem. Because, again, 20 years old, just hitting the league. I think he's trying to fly under the radar. You know, you've seen Pat Beverly. You've seen John Wall. Like, we're going to get you because of your pops. This is schoolyard bullying. He's trying to keep his head down. Like, oh, I don't want to get murdered today.
Right. Yeah. And he's had to deal with this dating back, you know, in the public consciousness, at least to UCLA, but I'm sure back in high school he had to deal with this too. Like,
yeah,
this
but
has
not
been a problem he's been dealing with for a long time. It's just now the spotlight is getting bigger and bigger.
Right, that's it. Like, the scale is so much larger. It's global. I mean, come on. 1.5 million people watched a horrible, like, training game, whatever it was, in Lithuania. It wasn't even a league game. It wasn't an official league game.
Right.
And, you know, it's embarrassing. I caught, like, screenshots on Twitter, and the referees were wearing Big Baller shirts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Big Baller brand challenge.
I'm just shaking my head right now because this whole thing is so stupid. So I'm going to say something because I've put a lot of thought into this.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way to get rid of LeVar Ball. That does not include assassination.
What's that?
Lonzo flaming out.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Becoming a absolute nobody who is forced to play overseas.
Yeah. Right.
And so what are we up against here? So does that mean people should root for Lonzo to suck? No, never. I would never, ever go up against a kid and say, you know what, I hope you don't succeed. That is pure evil. I will never hope for Lonzo Ball to not succeed. I want him to succeed. I want everybody to succeed.
Yeah, I agree.
But it comes at a cost. And that's what we have to figure out. And also, we have to be, as media consumers, we also have to stop clicking those links. Like, right now, and this is like a whole chicken and egg situation. Right now, you and I are a part of the problem, like right now.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it. But we have to, because now it's gotten so interwoven with the Lakers and their situation, it's going to affect maybe the way that they're going to trade. Like, their trade deadline might be affected of this, so everything just trickles down. But we need to stop hitting links that includes the word LeVar Ball, or the name LeVar Ball. We have to stop, you know, liking him on Facebook and following on Twitter. And I say we, I don't, but people need to stop, because otherwise this is going to be a problem for the next 15, 16 years.
Yeah,
it is.
Right. He's not going away. Like, Bill Simmons yesterday on Twitter tweeted a screenshot of ESPN's front page, which, like, if you scrolled down above, like, below the fold, basically, there was a whole section devoted to LeVar Ball. And he was like, what the hell?
Why? And then his own site had
the same thing. Yeah. That's someone, I think, like, Mason Ginsburg of Bourbon Streets, whatever it's called. Sorry, Mace. I don't remember the name of your blog. But, like, he tweeted a screenshot of
You're such a good
Ringer.
Friend, Brian.
I know. He tweeted a screenshot of The Ringer, and it was the exact same thing. There were, like, four LeVar Ball stories in their NBA section. Like, it is now evolved to the point where it is a matter of discussion. I'm going back. I'm going to stream of consciousness a few things here. When the Sixers drafted Jahlil Okafor and he got off to a rocky start his first season, Okafor's dad at one point in early January was standing up behind the bench and yelling at Brett Brown and, like, just heckling him the whole game. And then Okafor had to intervene, and he told his dad to, like, basically shut up and sit down. And then it stopped. At least, like, it was, you know, it didn't take off to a LeVar Ball level. Like, it was a one-off incident. We hadn't heard anything. They griped behind the scenes a lot, obviously, but there was never a outpouring of 3 days worth of national media stories like we had with this whole situation. So I agree more that, like, yeah, his age complicates this, because it's hard for any 20-year-old to stand up to their parents, much less an overbearing parent like this. That said, I think there's a way to do it respectfully. Like, I don't think he needs, you know, I've seen people say, like, all right, he needs to just, like, drop his father. Like, just stop speaking to him, basically. And I agree that that's not going to happen. Like, as you said, I'm sure family seems very important to him.
Right.
I don't think we could, like, who the hell are we to advocate a guy, like, cutting off contact with his father?
Right. That's
who, like,
ridiculous.
Supported. Yeah. So, but I think there is a way to respectfully confront your father and say, look, if we keep going down this road, this could adversely affect my NBA career. Like, Rachel Nichols of ESPN, she was on The Jump the other day, and she said, you know, there's already rumblings that rival team executives don't want to touch Lonzo if he's available in the future. Like, they don't want the baggage with LeVar. free agents may not want to come to the team that can be thrown into chaos at a moment's notice because LeVar Ball is like hanging over that franchise. Like the Lakers, we've talked about it plenty before and we will in the next couple months as well. Their big grand scheme this summer is to carve out enough max contract space for two max contract free agents, ideally Paul George and LeBron James. But does LeBron James want to tether at least some of the twilight of his career to LeVar Ball?
Like because this... we know that LeVar is going to intervene.
Right, absolutely. Like, this has become, specifically in reference to coaching criticisms, this is not LeVar's first rodeo. Like, he did this with his son's AAU coaches. Mm-hmm. He did this, I mean, he pulled them both out of UCLA and high school, respectively. Like, this just seems to be what he does. He thinks he knows best for his sons, and he very well might. Like, he is their father. He probably knows, you know, he knows them better than a coach who's been, like, Luke Walton, who's been working with Lonzo for 6 months. Yeah. That makes sense.
And but he fed off a Trump thing as well. Like, he and Trump had words. Like, oh, God. This guy's not, well, yeah, that's additionally stupid. But my point is, he's not afraid of anything.
Yeah, right, right. So it makes me wonder, like, when... I think the only time he would be satisfied is if the Lakers are winning 65 games and Lonzo is playing like an MVP and he's getting 100 touches a game. Like, short of that, like, if LeBron comes to the Lakers, you know, if LeBron ignores all of this bullshit and he comes to the Lakers next summer, but then he starts dominating the ball and starts subtweeting Lonzo, like, dealing with all of the, you know, random BS that the Cavs had the last couple of years, throw LeVar into that mix... And that's going toxic. To explode. Yeah, like that your team chemistry is just going to go to shit right away. So I think, like, going back to the, is he a problem? Like, yes, this is a legitimate problem. Like, there is, the Lakers need to figure out some way to deal with this. Hoping he's going to go away is not the answer, because he's not going to go away. As you said, cutting him out of team activities is not going to work. It won't matter. He will find other ways to express themselves. Like, they tried to cut off the area where, like, family and media members could interact at games. It didn't matter. Like, he probably has a standing invitation to come on to First Take with ESPN or whatever the hell Skip Bayless's show is on Fox Sports 1. Like, they all know this guy.
Nobody knows. I've heard nobody knows. It's a complete mystery. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, they all know this guy is instant ratings. I mean, like, if you put him on, right. So, as you said, it falls on the media consumers as much as it does everyone else to just ignore him and hope he goes away. Let's seg into the media's role in all of this, because I frankly think that's been a huge storyline as well to come out of this. Numerous NBA head coaches in particular have been very critical of ESPN for this particular interview that they gave or that they like promoted. I'm going to read a couple comments from Rick Carlisle, Stan Van Gundy, and Steve Kerr, just to give people context in case they haven't seen them. So Carlisle, I believe, was first, and he said, ESPN's an NBA partner, and they've been a great one. But part of that partnership is that the coaches do a lot of things to help them with access, interviews, and all those kind of things. And in exchange for that, they should back up the coaches. Printing an article where the father of an NBA player has an opinion that's put in as anything like legitimate erodes trust. It erodes trust that we've built with ESPN, and our coaches are upset because Luke Walton does not deserve that. What are your thoughts, Mort?
He should just have changed the word back, or you know, the term back up coaches. To in exchange for that, they should be more respectful to coaches. Because when he said they should back up coaches, then he changed the narrative. Then he asked for media bias on the coaches' behalf. I don't know if that was his intention, though. I'm not sure. I'm not Rick Carlisle, so obviously I can't speak on his behalf. But that's when it got a little bit sour to me, where you just know, oh, Rick, don't go down that road, because then you're just as bad.
Right.
One guy is getting biased because, hey, ratings. And now he's basically asking for the same thing, just in a different way. I do agree with one thing. Coaches do play a large part in the access that these networks are getting. Like, remember the quarter interviews, mm-hmm. the coaches, they don't add anything. Fans, for the most part, fans hate it. Right. Coaches hate it. Like, nobody really likes it. No, reporters hate doing it.
Greg Popovich likes it.
Yeah, yeah. Pop is a big fan of it. And yet, it keeps on persisting because coaches, you know, say, fine, if that's what it takes, then mm-hmm. let's go ahead and do it, I guess. So they do a lot for these networks. So in that regard, I get where Rick is coming from. He should just not have used that term. They mm-hmm. should back up the coaches. Like, oh, no, don't go down that route. But the key thing here is printing an article where the father of an NBA player has an opinion. Like, mm-hmm. he nailed that one. Mm-hmm. Because every parent has a goddamn opinion about... Sure. Yeah, everything their child is about. Not even NBA players. Everyone. I'm a father. I have an opinion. So that should just never be a case. You should never give screen time or, you know, column space, whatever, to parents who just are like, oh, I have something to say. Because it doesn't matter. If you don't have any say, you shouldn't really get all that luxury. But again, it's the Paris Hilton phenomenon, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm famous because I'm famous sort of thing. And then everyone rolls with it. And it's just the media at its worst. And I think that's what Rick Carlisle kind of wanted to point out. And then he just kind of messed it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree that the idea that ESPN and other media outlets should always give positive reinforcement to coaches is absurd. If a coach is doing a bad job, they should be called out for it. Like, if LeVar Ball came a couple years earlier when Byron Scott was around, I don't think anyone would have a problem with this. He would just be saying the truth. Byron Scott is doing a bad job. I think part of this is that Luke Walton, you know, I know some Lakers fans have been upset with him for specifically like his rotations this year, how he's managed Julius Randle's minutes. But like, by and large, he has a very young team. They're on the course that most people thought they would be. I don't think anyone realistically should have expected this team to be a playoff team. They're relying on a bunch of first, second, third year players. But you can see, like, Lonzo Ball now, compared to the first game of the season, has made significant strides. Like, Brandon Ingram looks like a totally different player than he did in his first season. Like, Kyle Kuzma is playing out of his mind. A lot of that comes back to the coaches and the player development staff. Mm-hmm. So I think part of the frustration here is like the feeling that Luke doesn't deserve to be in this media spotlight because of what LeVar is saying. And to Luke's credit, he's handling it very well. I mean, he gave an interview Sunday after these comments came out, and he basically said, like, look, I don't care. I know the front office has my back. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't think I've lost this locker room. If LeVar does, whatever. And then after the game, a reporter asked him why he pulled Lonzo out early to get him more run with the second unit. And he was like, well, Lonzo's dad was talking shit, so I benched him.
Obviously not true. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then he like paused for 2 seconds and said, just kidding. But it was like an all-time press conference moment. So like, he really, I mean... If anything, kudos to Luke Walton for how he's handled these last couple days.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Mort. Like, ESPN and any outlet, frankly, I don't know if they're presenting this as legitimate, though. Like, they're presenting the comments, but they're not like, they didn't have 3 paragraphs in that story to back up. Well, actually, here's what all the stuff that Luke Walton is not doing well. They just printed the comments and then didn't weigh in with comments.
I'm going to interrupt you because you're in the media, and so am I. So I'm sitting here. I have 2 media degrees. Yep. So you and I can sit there and go, oh yeah, like, we know when an article is phrased or designed in a certain way, what it means. Mm-hmm. But we need to take into account the average Joe and the general public who might not know this. Like, a comment standing alone, we know that that's mostly a comment in itself. Like, we're not going to back this up. We're just going to present you what it is, objectively. But then some people are going to read it as, oh my god, they support it. Otherwise, why wouldn't it be here? Like, it's here. They support it. So it's all about how one consumes media. It's all about how people perceive news. Like, let's be honest here for a second. Why is Fox News popular? Right. Because they pander to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
And those with racist tendencies and whatnot. They have, like, they've done studies on this. This is not just an emotional platform. Like, right. let's agree. Fox News, as awful as it is, they know everything that they're doing. They know everything. And they know that we need to spin it. Yeah,
it's a show.
Everything is a show. This is not... When they do stupid shit, it's not unintentional.
Right.
It's because they know that a vast percentage of those who's watching will believe that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So media can be spun, and then we have all the fake news going on as well. People don't really have the same trust in media now that they did 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So everyone reads media differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem. We can't get everyone on the same page. It's physically impossible. So the only thing you can do if you're a big medium is avoiding certain controversies. That means, in this case, not handing LeVar Ball a goddamn microphone or shoving a camera up his face.
Mm-hmm.
That means just going, you know what? We'll cover what's important. LeVar Ball... is not important.
Right. I mean, to an extent, I'd agree. And let's actually move, this is a good transition into what Stan Van Gundy said, because he said basically along your lines, he said the story was a cheap shot and he thought ESPN showed total disrespect. He said, I don't have a problem with LeVar Ball. He's a grown man. He can voice whatever opinion he wants. I got a problem with ESPN deciding that's a story.
Bingo.
So, to a certain extent, I agree, but I don't think ESPN went into that interview with LeVar Ball. Maybe they said, like, hey, go talk shit about Luke Walton. I don't think they, like, planted anything. I just think they gave him a microphone and he rambled, which is what happens with Donald Trump, too. Like, he gave an interview to the New York Times over Christmas break, and he rambled, and that turned into a story. So, are you, and is Stan Van Gundy saying, like, just stop interviewing this guy?
Yeah. And that goes with Trump, too, because the country would be better off. But yes, I am. This man, what does he have to offer? Let's be honest. What does LeVar Ball have to offer than, let's say, you know, some random NBA? Nikola Mirotic father.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have more to offer?
I think the only difference between those two is Nikola Mirotic or whatever name, random NBA non-superstar, is that those guys are not viewed as the future face of the franchise, whereas the Lakers, since the moment they drafted Lonzo Ball, have been, like, getting his jersey ready to hang in the rafters. So all right,
then let's talk to Karl-Anthony Towns' dad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, it would be, if Karl-Anthony Towns' dad came out and said, like, Towns isn't happy with something about how the organization is run, I think that is a story. I don't think this is exclusive.
Yeah, because he's not saying stuff all the time.
Right.
Then he's breaking a pattern of silence.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, when is LeVar Ball, like, kind of like the boy who cried wolf? Like, he says too much stupid stuff all the time. So when a potentially newsworthy story happens, like, again, it goes back to the question of, is LeVar being a mouthpiece for Lonzo, or is he just spouting off random stuff that Lonzo has not told him?
All right, okay. So, different thing here. What about Anna Horford?
Okay.
She's on Twitter.
Yep.
She's very vocal. Uh-huh. She's also a great follow, by the way.
Yeah, right.
She's very vocal, and sometimes her tweets definitely indicate that a story is not what it seems. So why aren't the media just ringing her doorbell down here and just going, Anna, 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 we need to know what's up with the Celtics? hey, the Isaiah Thomas trade, what happened? Like, come on. There's, like, with the Celtics, there after the IT trade especially, there were a lot of things that could be discussed. Like, why mm-hmm. was Anna Horford not just, like, almost attacked by cameras and microphones?
We don't know that she wasn't.
All right, fine. So she might be smart enough to just say yeah. no. That's right.
Right, right.
Fair enough. Like, but then still, compared to LaVar Ball, I still think that there's a strong tendency to go that direction because, oh, we know that he says stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he'll open his mouth.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wrong way to enter into a situation.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have been on very much on the side of don't talk about this guy. We called him Voldemort for 6 months, and we will go back to calling him Voldemort, hopefully the next episode, barring any more explosions like this. So I mean,
oh, this is the exception, so yes, we will absolutely. I'm gonna fine you, I'm gonna fine myself.
Yeah, we go in Twitter jail if we call him by his real name after today. So it actually, that feeds into the comments from Steve Kerr, which I thought were probably the most reasonable of the three coaches.
No. Steve Kerr being reasonable?
I know. So he said, where we're going is we're going away from covering the game, and we're going toward just sensationalized news.
Yeah.
It's not even news, really. It's just complete nonsense. But if you package that irrational nonsense with glitter and some ribbon, people are going to watch. So I talked to some people in the media this year. I said, why do you guys have to cover that guy? And they say, well, we don't want to, but our bosses tell us we have to because of the ratings, because of the readership.
Oh, I want to have sex with that comment, Brian. And I want to make beautiful, small sentences that are just as clever.
I mean, it goes back to what you said earlier. The only way to make this guy go away, aside from Lonzo flaming out and them all going to Europe and, you know, his dream of having all three Ball brothers on the Lakers never coming to fruition, is if people stop caring about LeVar. Like, there is a legitimate niche market, and it's not even niche at this point. It's just any story about LeVar Ball or any video with LeVar Ball gets outsized attention compared to how much work you have to put into it. Like, without divulging specifics, I can tell you from Bleacher Report's end, all of the LeVar Ball content crushes.
Yep.
Like, that's just how it is. And it goes into, this feeds into a larger conversation about the media landscape in general. And you can frankly tie it back to, again, I feel like we could have very similar conversations with LeVar Ball in sports and Donald Trump in politics.
Right.
Where, you know, like, heading into the election, it was Donald Trump 24/7, basically, unless Hillary's emails were a thing. But, like...
And even then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, then she was on, like, this little bottom quarter on the little bottom scroll or whatever. Like, because of the way that news outlets have to make money currently, many of which... Out, you know, The Athletic is a subscription-based model, but most are reliant on advertisers. Advertisers on print media, they put their ads either in newspapers or on banner ads, and then you get money on a per-click basis. So you say, we're expecting to be able to deliver you 3.4 million reads this month, so you will pay us X rate based on this formula for how much a click is worth, or for a video... We can give you 100,000 video views on this. Here's how much you'll pay us. And if you underdeliver, you have to give them more ad roll elsewhere. So media outlets then have to say, all right, I think Steve Kerr is right. I don't think anyone went to journalism school being like, yeah, one day I'm going to cover LeVar Ball. This is going to be great. Like, no one wants to do this, but you have to pay the bills too. So if it's you can publish a story, I mean, you know, not even ESPN public, like, I'm sure this Jeff Goodman story alone has generated bonkers, just absolutely bonkers reads and page views. But, like, now every other website, Bleacher Report's one of them, CBS, Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports if they still had writers, Yahoo, they can all aggregate that content, post it on their own site, get hundreds of thousands of reads on their own, not have to do that much work.
Yep.
So I think it speaks to the screwed up structure of the media landscape. And until someone comes up with a better model than rely on advertisers who rely on paid views or video views to come up with the formula of how much they're going to pay you, I don't know.
There is a better model. Anything.
Yeah, the subscription model.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. Subscription models is that's the best way.
Yeah,
it is the best way. It's just the fact that users don't want to pay for anything.
Right.
Look, what I've studied in this. When the internet arrived, every major publication went, oh my God, this is a godsend, because advertisers were throwing money their way. The internet is this new hot thing. It's never going to end, and it's going to be beautiful, and we can grow and print our own money if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, these sites or big media publications, they earned very well. They got a lot of money in on this.
Right.
And then, you know, they started seeing results and or calculating results, these advertisers, and went, you know what, it's not really paying off to the extent that we thought. But in the meantime, these publications all had this mindset of, well, we're earning so much, so it doesn't matter that we give shit out for free. Mm-hmm. Because if we do that, we're still going to earn in off the advertisement.
Sure.
When that went away, you also had a whole market where you'd grown them accustomed to not paying for things. Now you're looking at that market going, well, you know what? I was accustomed to not paying for things, and now you want me to pay for things? No, that's not how I roll. Right. I do not want to pay for things. I would rather just have everything for free, and if I won't get it from you, I'm going to get it from some sucker down the road who will give it to me for free. And when that happens, you have to be a little bit competitive and go, okay, so maybe what should we do to survive? Because people will read the worst kind of shit as long as it's free. They prioritize their wallets over quality. That's the real problem. The real problem is not finding a solution to the way that you engage media or how you fix that. The solution is right there, and that is subscription. Just as it was in the old days with the fucking newspaper. You paid for a newspaper. It worked.
Right. Well, that's
the same thing.
That begs it. Like, a lot of the main American newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, do have a subscription model where you get a couple articles of free per month and then you have to pay.
Right.
But I wonder if, like, did the major sports media outlets miss the boat on that? Because they've had, you know, ESPN has Insider, but it's like the mag content is often Insider, like Kevin Pelton, like the deeper analysis is Insider, but like stuff they rip from the Associated Press or stuff this Lonzo Ball or LeVar Ball interview is never going to be Insider content. Like, they give away a lot of stuff for free too. Would, you know, if ESPN went to a full paywall model, would people just say, all right, screw you, I'm not going to pay for it, I'll go to Bleacher Report, or I'll go to CBS, or I'll go to FanRag Sports?
Like, yes, they would. Nice plug there. Love that.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. Yes, they would. Okay, look, so Mark Deeks and I had a conversation about this many years ago, because I think it's okay with Mark that I share this, but we both had issues earning money off of our work. I still do. Mark's finally gotten a job, and congrats to him. That's awesome. But I mean, in my country as well, I've tried earning money off of my coverage for a decade. People will not pay for it. They would rather go to an alternative site that posts really bad edited content in regards to NBA, not naming any names, but Danish people would know who I'm referencing. And they would rather have that because it's free. That's always going to be a problem. Always going to be a problem. And I finally figured out why. And Mark and I talked about this as well. It is people who are mainstream consumers. They simply do not know the difference between what is bad quality, which isn't quality, and high quality. it's all about the amusement factor for them. Like,
yeah,
hey, here's a list of the top five hottest girlfriend of NBA players.
right.
If that's amusing to them, if that's entertaining, they will regard that as high quality, even though objectively speaking and from a journalistic perspective, it's shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, you're looking at different mindsets.
I think the news itself, for overall, like, when you're just looking at this story just happened, here's the main takeaways. Most people don't care about the writing quality. And it's a, like, it sucks to say that as someone who's been writing about the NBA for a long time. But, you know, they don't care if it's the most eloquently worded piece or if it's a flaming pile of dog shit. You still get the same takeaway of, here's what LeVar Ball said.
Right.
That's all you need. When you're getting into the deeper analysis, you know, when you're going into like a Zach Lowe or a Matt Moore.
I was just about to say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Zach Lowe is just a magician at words. Yeah.
But are casual fans reading that, or are you catering more to, and then like, right. So for the people who are, you know, wild enough to have a podcast where they discuss the NBA every week. Yeah. Like, we eat that stuff up. We know who the best writers are, and we like eagerly anticipate their work. Like,
right.
Zach Lowe published a great piece about the Miami Heat today. It's excellent, as usual.
Ramona Shelburne.
Right. Yeah. Like, we know and have come to expect that quality, but it makes me think, like, journalistic institutions are just, like, rapidly approaching a day of reckoning where they need to, I mean, the industry has just evolved so much since the advent of the internet, and especially now with, like, social media. You know, most organizations are still trying to figure out how to monetize social media. Like, that's the next big frontier.
You can't. Here's the problem is, because people, again, it's all about expectations. When I'm a user of a social media page, let's say I'm just a regular Joe going on Facebook, and then I see, you know, a page posting a message where it might say, you know, in a couple of years, to view this video, pay $1 by clicking on this button. I won't be like, no.
Yeah, right.
Because apparently, first of all, that's because I'm not speaking for me, but me personally, Morton, I would do it probably if it's a site that I follow and I want to see. But if it's the average Joe, it's like, no, I've earned this money. I'm going to spend it on whatever I want, and I don't want this. Yeah. And then we have to live with it. Like, you can't force money out of people's wallets, even though sometimes you really, really want to. And, you know, you just have to come up with something different. I think social media should just be the hub where you kind of present your channels. Like, let's talk about Patreon for a second. What a wonderful tool. That allowed Derek Botner, for example, to quit his day job. That was before he got hired by The Athletic. Like, that allowed him the freedom to cover the Sixers full time. Like, I'm not a Sixers guy, but I read Derek often and frequently because he does great work. And for him to suddenly be freed up to do way more work, that was just, for me as a consumer and a reader, that was excellent. But from the guy next door, it'd be like, who cares? I'm not going to pay for it. If he starts charging, I'm just going to read the guy next to him who does a shittier work because I don't care. Hashtag YOLO. Whatever. You know, an idiot would write. But the thing is, and look, again, I'm saying idiot. That's because I can't even stay objective on this because I'm a media person right now and my juices are flowing. We cannot find a way to satisfy everyone. That's just never going to happen. And I think the media as a whole need to recognize this, because every time I'm at a meeting with editors or whatever, journalists, that's always the thing. How do we satisfy everybody? Fuck it. Stop doing that. You can't. That should never be a prerogative. You can't. You should just continue to make sure that your core audience, who are paying customers, keep paying. Make sure that they are consistently satisfied with the level of quality that you're providing, and then keep fucking doing it. because there's nothing worse than a site that is respected going into clickbait shit.
Yeah, right. And you know, The Athletic, because their subscription model, has the luxury to avoid that. Like, I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe they have a Los Angeles channel yet. They have a Bay Area one.
I don't think so, no.
But even if they did, I don't think they would not be covering this LeVar Ball story the way every other website, every other major media sports website is covering.
Oh, no, no. They would probably have, like, an article once in a while because it's interwoven with the Lakers as we are doing this podcast right now.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah, they would be looking at it from, like, how does this affect the Lakers moving forward rather than, here's the stupid shit that he said. Is he right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's wrap up with this final question. Is Lonzo worth all of this headache?
I knew you were getting there. No, I get the question. I just think it's so unfair. He's 20.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we don't know. We just don't know. If the way that he's playing right now is any indication, no. He's not, like, he hasn't made a big enough splash for me to think it's worth it. But that's just, like, that's short term. I don't know. Next year, he could come back and average 19-8-8 and be, you know, he's a strong defensive player. We got to give him that. He's improved leaps and bounds defensively. Like, it's night and day from the first couple of weeks to now. Like, I'm going as far as saying he's a downright good defensive player right now. That's for a rookie.
Let me see. Yeah, he's fourth right now among all point guards in defensive real plus minus, according to ESPN.
Does not surprise me one bit. He's just gotten better on that end. So that's a huge get from him. But, I mean, it's just so taxing, right? And it makes it hard to root for him at times. Like, I should clarify, from average consumers. Like, when I see non-Lakers fans comment, it's about how shitty Lonzo Ball is, where I'm like, dude, no, I mean, yeah, we poke fun at him once in a while, but that's because of his dad.
Yeah.
Like, when we are talking in a serious tone here on the podcast regarding Lonzo, we're like, the kid is young. You even had a segment a couple weeks back where you were like, let's give the guy some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still there. I wrote about this for B-Ball Breakdown as well this week. Like, as of now, I do think he's worth the headache. I think that it would be a different story if he was a mid to late first round pick who was, you know, like, yeah, we've said it. He's got off to a rocky start of the season. He's played pretty damn well as of late. So, like, the growth curve he's showing me makes me think, like, even if his upside is not top 10, like, NBA player, I still believe he's going to be an all-star one day. Like, he's going to be a walking triple-double threat. If he was a mid-first rounder, like, if this was Luke Kennard's dad, bye. You know, like,
I was Donovan Mitchell's dad.
No, Donovan Mitchell's dad could say whatever the hell he wants. He is. Don't do it, Mr. Mitchell. Please, God, don't do it. We have enough with LeVar. I think there's a difference based on where he's drafted, the expectations placed among him, his talent. Like, he does have the talent to become that type of all-star caliber, you know, multiple all-star game appearances. So yes, I think he is worth the headache as of now. I think you see if he continues growing, continues developing, if you could come up with some way to keep LeVar just a little bit more in check.
But how? Yeah. That's, like, we need to come up with an idea here.
I think it literally, the only way to do it is have Lonzo stand up to him.
But even that couldn't, I mean, look, even that runs the risk of not working. Like, even if Lonzo publicly goes out and, even if Lonzo goes out and does the unthinkable and just says, you know what? I'm done.
Severs
ties with his own dad. We still have that problem that LeVar Ball will still have a voice and there will still be cameras and there will still be a lot of 15-year-old boys, I'm assuming primarily boys, on the internet going, what does LeVar Ball say to this? Baller brand hashtag.
But at that point, at least you know it's not coming from Lonzo.
Right. Okay, that's fine.
I think that makes a difference, though.
It does. Major difference.
Yeah, like, right now, the uncertainty of, is this LeVar's opinion or is this Lonzo's opinion, is feeding, well, maybe this actually is newsworthy. But yeah, if he, like, if he separates with his dad, or if he even just comes out and publicly says, like, that he, frankly, Lonzo fanned the flames of this a little bit, because reporters asked him about these comments Sunday, and they're like, are you happy with Luke Walton as your coach? And he said, I'll play with for anybody, which is not a ringing endorsement of Luke Walton as his coach.
He's so 20. He can say things wrong. I think he's just trying to be politically correct. I think he's so afraid of stepping into it himself.
I'm not blaming him at all. Like, I hope I haven't come off that way. Like, I understand he is caught.
Oh, you come off as a kid hater, Brian.
Yeah, right. I'm not a father yet. There's a reason.
That's true.
He is caught in a very unenviable position where he either has to come out and say his father is a liar, basically, or he has to come out and slam his team. Like, there is no middle ground, or he's trying to find the middle ground, and it's not working. So I don't envy Lonzo at all. But yeah, I think at a certain point, he needs to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, if these rumblings keep happening, and God forbid, if the Lakers miss out on all of their top free agent targets this summer. Someone in my mentions last night was like, imagine if LeBron was going to come to the Lakers and then his camp leaks that, oh, wait, no, he's not going to do it because he doesn't want to be with LeVar. Like, it's not going to happen, but that would just be hilarious. But if it somehow trickles out that LeVar is adversely affecting not only Lonzo, but the Lakers' free agent prospects, or like that the Lakers teammates are all starting to sour on Lonzo because of LeVar, then it becomes time that Lonzo really needs to stand up and say, like, I'm my own man. If you want comments about my opinion or something, come to me. Don't come to my dad.
I agree with that one. That's actually very good. Lonzo, if you're listening, that last line Brian just brought up, that's a good one. Talk to me. So I have one final question for you before we wrap it up as well.
Yeah.
Let's say LeBron goes to Magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'll be a Laker if you trade Lonzo so I can get rid of the whole LeVar Ball thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trade a 20-year-old Lonzo Ball to get a 33-year-old LeBron Jameson? If he guarantees it. Like, LeBron gives you your word. And you know, if LeBron gives you your word, that's golden. That's solid.
Right. It depends on how long, like, is LeBron signing one of his patented 1 year with a player option deal?
No, he's signing full on.
Like 4 years?
Yeah.
Or 3 or 4 years? Yeah.
Yeah, three or four years.
I would make that trade if I'm the Lakers.
Yeah,
just to bring the brand back. I know it's stupid and it goes against everything I stand for as an acolyte of Sam Hinkie, but yes. Because I do think, you know, when you go into the NBA draft, every prospect has strengths and weaknesses that you need to evaluate. I think this LeVar baggage is a legitimate weakness you need to continue packaging with Lonzo Ball. Like, this is a genuine issue that is not going to go away. It is possibly more concerning than his ugly-ass three-point shot. Like, this might be the biggest concern.
I'm proud to say that I don't. Oh, no, Lonzo's three-point shot. I just thought you were referencing LeVar's three-point
shot. No, Lonzo.
I've not seen LeVar shoot a basketball. I was just going to say I was proud to never seen that. I avoid everything. But, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think. It just does make me laugh, though. Like, how happy would the Lakers be right now to go back to when a Snapchat fiasco with D'Angelo Russell was the biggest drama surrounding that team?
Do you think if they knowing what they know now, do you think they stick with Russell?
Like, do they regret? Should they have kept Russell? And
let's
then just
go,
like,
back to a day before the trade.
Yeah, and then with the knowledge, like, Jason they have Tatum number two,
or Donovan. Yeah,
I don't know. They would take Tatum if you have Tatum and Ingram.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, the Lakers are going to be endlessly fascinating these next couple of years to see how this whole drama develops, what happens with free agency this summer, if this stuff affects their free agency, how Lonzo develops.
Will. Yeah. I mean, it will. Can't we just, let's not play coy here. Of course it will.
I would I would be inclined to agree. I would be very surprised if it at least does not factor in. I'm not saying that they aren't going to somehow, you know, cash in with their Paul George and LeBron dream. It still could happen, but I think at least when LeBron's taking all those free agent meetings in July, his number one question is going to be, how am I going to get LaVar Ball to shut up?
So I just want to give a brief message to the listeners as well, because Brian, as you know, before this podcast, we started talking about how we were kind of figuring, because the name LaVar Ball is going to be in the title of the podcast, because that is the key topic for today. It's not for clickbait. It's simply to discuss the problematics. We were kind of, you know, joking around saying, oh, this is probably going to be the heaviest hitter we've had. Like, this is going to be the most listened to episode we've had on the NBA podcast. Right. So, I guess I'm too late because this is the end of the show, but don't listen. Don't give us, don't make this the most listened to episode of all time, please. That would just defeat the entire purpose.
Right. Please. We do talk about real basketball analysis usually, and we'll get back to that in our next episode, in fact. But
go back to listen to episode 100. We were talking about like Brian's boner and stuff like that. We had Mark Deeks on. That's a lot. That's so much better. Just
much, much higher ceiling there. Yeah. Well, Mort, this is a good talk, and we want to thank all the listeners for listening and enduring with us this whole LaVar nonsense. We promise we will talk about real basketball next episode. In the meantime,
great content. Yeah. Also, if we're saying anything at all, support great content, guys.
Yes, yes. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod, where you do not have to pay to follow us on Twitter, but you can find our handles in our bio as well. You can also find us on iTunes. Please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We really appreciate it. And check us out on FanRag Sports. You can find them on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I'm going to go see if Sarah actually succeeded in her Putin plan of getting Manu Ginobili to the All-Star game.
Yeah, we will be talking about All-Star reserves shortly. And spoiler alert, we will not have Manu Ginobili among the 12.
Sarah will.
All right, later, Mort.
Later.